Awarding someone the Nobel Prize for Peace is always tempting fate. Such are the vagaries of human affairs, yesterday's warmonger is tomorrow's peacemaker, and vice versa, that it's not really the Norwegian Nobel Committee's fault when posterity makes mockery of some of their judgments. When you give a peace gong to someone like Henry Kissinger or Yasser Arafat, it's just a risk you run. It is nevertheless startling to see an actual Nobel Peace Laureate appearing at the International Court of Justice in The Hague to defend the government they lead against allegations of genocide. It's pretty much the one thing that isn't supposed to happen.
History had given us the opportunity to give of our best for a cause in which we believed. When the Nobel Committee chose to honor me, the road I had chosen of my own free will became a less lonely path to follow.
Aung San Suu Kyi, daughter of the founder of modern Myanmar, Aung San, and a formidable politician, diplomat, and activist in her own right, won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1991. At the time, she was rivaled only by Nelson Mandela as a universally admired avatar of all that was good, displaying exemplary courage in resisting all that was bad. She led the National League for Democracy as it faced down the terrifying and ruthless military junta which had turned Myanmar into North Korea with palm trees. Aung San Suu Kyi spent most of the period between 1989 and 2010 under house arrest. She was a hero. Aside from the Nobel Peace Prize, she was awarded the Sakharov Prize, a US Congressional Gold Medal and Presidential Medal of Freedom, an Honorary Order of Australia, Honorary Citizenship of Canada, and Amnesty International's Ambassador of Conscience Award. Luc Besson made a film about her. U2 wrote a song about her. And in time, she triumphed. The NLD won a landslide election victory in 2015. Though denied the presidency on a technicality, she became state councillor, effectively Myanmar's prime minister. It was hailed worldwide as a victory for decency, determination, and patience. And now she's denying that she is some kind of an accessory to crimes against humanity. Aung San Suu Kyi has been, it is fair to say, on a journey.
Please bear in mind this complex situation and the challenge to sovereignty and security in our country when you are assessing the intent of those who attempted to deal with the rebellion. Surely, under the circumstances, genocidal intent cannot be the only hypothesis.
It is important to be clear that while Aung San Suu Kyi is in The Hague, she is not in the dock. She is appearing voluntarily and has not been charged with any crime. The allegation before the ICJ is against her country, not her. The case has been brought by the Gambia, backed by the 57 members of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, a coterie which includes several nations who might want to pause before mounting their high horses where human rights are concerned. The allegation is, essentially, that Myanmar's recent persecution of the Rohingya people, Myanmar's Muslim minority who live mostly in the country's Rakhine state, amounts to genocide. This is a term with specific legal meanings, and it will be for the court to determine if events in Myanmar meet the threshold. What is known is bad enough. Since 2016, perhaps a million Rohingya have fled Myanmar, mostly to neighbouring Bangladesh. Journalists, NGOs, and the UN have reported a consistent pattern of atrocious violence, much of it directed at civilians, not excluding children. Myanmar's military, known as the Tatmadaw, have consistently claimed that they are waging a counterinsurgency against Islamist terrorists. Though Aung San Suu Kyi does not directly command the Tatmadaw, this is also the line that she has held. The most sympathetic imaginable interpretation of Aung San Suu Kyi's behaviour, and it's a reach, is that she is still, in some respects, the prisoner of the same military which once held her under house arrest. She may have calculated that this is a compromise she has to make to maintain such democracy as Myanmar now has, that if she takes on the military will once again take charge of the country. This is a question unlikely to interest the hundreds of thousands of Rohingya now wondering if they'll ever be able to go home again. And they, of course, are the ones who have survived the Tatmadaw's pogroms. Justice for the victims, if it is coming at all, may be years away. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.